This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
Rabble.ca.
Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and I was one of the people that originally started the Rabble Podcast Network, and I think that you should support the Rabble Podcast Network and Rabble.ca because there's no other place where you're going to get such a diversity of voices speaking truth to power.
The Rabble Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Show your support by going to rabble.ca/donate.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
2 weeks ago, the New York Times published a story calling British Columbia the Wild West of Canadian political cash. Because since becoming premier in 2011, Christy Clark has received over $300,000 from the BC Liberals, and that is in addition to her annual salary. All this at a time when Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is facing criticism for attending exclusive fundraisers, and other provinces are setting strict rules on political contributions. Duff Conacher is a lawyer in Ottawa. He's also co-founder of the advocacy group Democracy Watch. He, along with NDP MLA David Eby, filed a complaint with the BC's Conflict of Interest Commissioner regarding Clark's stipend. They also appealed to the BC Supreme Court in an attempt to overturn the commission's decision. Earlier this week, I spoke with Duff Conacher, and I began by asking him what that stipend was.
It was a stipend from the BC Liberals. Went up and down a little bit, most recently $50,000 a year, on top of her salary as premier, and essentially paying her a salary for things that she would do for the party, traveling around to events and conventions and things like that.
And where did the money come from?
The money came from money that was raised by the Liberal Party, including the money raised by the Premier for the party.
And how long had Premier Clark been receiving this stipend?
Since she was elected, it was something that was given to the previous Premier as well. And it's something that other Premiers have received in the past. It's generally been stopped, except in Saskatchewan, where Premier Brad Wall still receives this salary. Although lots of party leaders, not just premiers, but opposition party leaders, get some expenses at least covered by the party, as do cabinet ministers often, again, for things that they do for the party. So money is flowing across the country through parties to party leaders, and sometimes cabinet ministers, whether they're ruling party leaders or opposition party leaders.
Regarding campaign contributions, how is BC different from other provinces in the country?
BC is the same as a few other provinces in that it allows unlimited donations from corporations, unions, and individuals, even if they are not located in the province or operating in the province. And that's the same in Saskatchewan, PEI, Newfoundland and Labrador, and also the Yukon Territory. And so those are really, in all of those jurisdictions, including BC, really best government money can buy systems that are unethical and undemocratic.
What did your organization, Democracy Watch, do when you learned about this stipend?
Well, it wasn't just the stipend, but it was also high-priced invite-only secretive events that Premier Clark and other BC cabinet ministers were holding. And when we learned about those, based on the Globe and Mail reporting on them and some others back in the spring of 2016, we filed a complaint with the BC Conflict of Interest Commissioner and said, well, first of all, part of the money that she's raising is going back to herself in her salary. And so she's really in a conflict of interest when she's doing that fundraising. And secondly, the events themselves and the large donations that flow into her behind-closed-door events also create conflicts of interest for her. And all you have to do under the BC Government Ethics Law, the Conflict of Interest Act, is be in the appearance of a conflict of interest, and then you're in violation of the law. So we thought it was pretty clear that you have at least the appearance of a conflict of interest here. Really, you have a real conflict of interest because she's raising money for herself while she's acting as the premier. No, it's clearly not allowed by the law. So we went to the commissioner hoping for a good ruling.
And what did the commissioner, what was their ruling?
The commissioner ruled in May and then in a follow-up decision in August that nothing wrong here at all. No, not even the appearance of a conflict of interest. The commissioner, Paul Fraser is his name, BC's conflict of interest commissioner, he didn't even investigate to find out who was attending these events. You know, were there lobbyists there paying $20,000 to get access behind closed doors to the premier or other cabinet ministers? People seeking decisions from the government, were they paying cash for access? He just ruled nothing to look at here. The premier gets the money, but the money she raises goes to the party, doesn't go to her directly, so it's not an illegal gift that she's receiving, even though it goes to the party and then it goes back out to her. So it's just pretty amazing. And we, that as a result, went to court last October challenging that ruling in court.
We'll get to that in a moment. How else is the conflict of interest commissioner, Paul Fraser, and in particular his son, how are they also involved in this whole affair?
Well, quite incredibly, the commissioner's son works for the ruling party Liberal cabinet, in effect working for Premier Clark. So when we're filing this complaint with him, we also went public when I learned this and said, well, he should step aside and he shouldn't rule on anything to do with the cabinet because he's in the appearance of a conflict of interest himself. He actually did step aside in 2012 because of his connection of his son to the BC Liberals and didn't rule on a situation. But this time in 2016, even though the situation hasn't changed, he said, no, I'm not an appearance of a conflict of interest and I'm going to go ahead and rule on this. So that was part of our case, saying that he also should have stepped aside. And shouldn't have made this ruling. We've seen this, the Alberta commissioner actually recently stepped aside because she was friends with one of the person, not even a member of the family, just friends with the person connected to a complaint situation. And she actually referred the complaint to the BC commissioner and said, can you please rule on this because I'm in Alberta, I have a connection to one of the people in this situation, and I have an appearance of a conflict of interest. So, you know, he recognized it in 2012, and he should have recognized it again in 2016.
A couple of weeks ago, this story got quite a bit of attention when the New York Times reported on it. What was the reaction to that story?
Well, it did kind of blow it up and make a lot more people aware of how serious the situation is and how corrupt the BC political donation system is. Because, you know, yeah, you have a political donations law that says money flowing to a party and out to the leader of the party. We call that in BC a donation because that's what it's called under the elections law. But, you know, anywhere else in the world where they don't have a donation law, if that was happening, they would just call it a bribe because, you know, this money is coming from companies and others who have want something from the government. The government knows exactly what they want because they're lobbying and actually disclose it under the lobbying law what they want. So then the money flows. Well, you know, a bribe is when you offer money or some other benefit to a politician in return for them taking action on something you want. And essentially, BC has a system of legalized bribery where you can instead offer a donation to the party of the politician and have the money go back to the politician as a salary, as the premier gets, from the BC Liberal Party. But it's just called a donation. It's all legalized, even though it's essentially offering money and asking at the same time the premier to do something for you. So it blew it wide open in that way. At the same time, the commissioner was filing a motion to stop our case from going ahead, claiming that he was protected and that the courts could not even look at his decisions, even if they were really bad and completely wrong on both the facts and on the law.
regarding the case you brought forward to the Supreme Court. I know just this week there was a decision on that. What did the Supreme Court decide?
Yes, the judge, just in case people are confused, thinking, oh, is this the Supreme Court of Canada? No, it's the BC Supreme Court, which is the first level, and you just have one judge ruling. It was Justice Affleck, and he ruled that he agreed with the commissioner's position. The commissioner is, in effect, an ethics czar, cannot be held accountable for rulings, no matter how bad they are, or even if the commissioner is in a conflict of interest when he makes the ruling, and that the whole complaint system to the commissioner is really a meaningless dead end, because if the commissioner makes a ruling you disagree with, you can't take it to court. You can't have the courts review it. So it's you can go to him for an opinion. If you don't like the opinion, I think it's totally wrong, there's nowhere to go. It kind of makes it a useless system. And we're looking to appeal that decision because we disagree that the commissioner, you know, he is making a ruling. You should be able to review that ruling in court. So we're looking at possibly appealing. But also it just makes it clear that if the court is looking at this and saying, yeah, this is my ruling, the law needs to be changed to make the commissioner accountable to the court. So you just can't have a commissioner, especially one whose son works for the premier, be a czar who can't be held accountable for bad decisions.
What was, after this story broke and there was a lot of public attention on it, what did Premier Christy Clark do?
Well, she stopped as of January 1st for the year 2017. She is saying she's no longer going to receive the stipend, the salary of $50,000. Instead, they're going to switch to a system where she will submit expense claims to the BC Liberal Party, and the Liberal Party will pay those expense claims. She hasn't given the details about what expenses will be covered, how much it's going to add up to. She's just made a claim that it's, oh, of course, going to be less than $50,000. But it could easily be $50,000 still. It's not disclosed anywhere as income because it'll be expense claims. And so it's actually going to obscure how much money is flowing back through her from the fundraising she does for the BC Liberals.
Are there any restrictions on what sort of expenses that she'd be allowed to claim, or could it be just about anything that she comes across in her day-to-day activities?
Yeah, I mean, it's really for the party to decide. She's not supposed to receive any gift or benefit connected to her position under the conflict of interest law, so they wouldn't be able to. She wouldn't be able to sort of double dip and get paid for things that she's really doing as the premier. But it's going to be under a cloak of secrecy. You know, the party has no obligation to disclose these expense claims and how much is paid. She has no legal obligation to disclose it either. So, I think it's really just obscuring it, and she's still going to get money from the party that she is raising. So the conflict of interest is still there. When she's doing these fundraising events, she's raising money in part for herself.
What are some recommendations you have to try and clean up this whole flow of finance money going to the premier and other officials in the government?
Well, first, make the commissioner accountable to court, and that would mean that the rule, which is really strong, the strongest in the country, in the BC law, that says that you can't, as a politician, be in even the appearance of a conflict of interest. That would make that rule more effective because the courts, I think, would uphold it, even if the commissioner ignored it. But the conflicts of interest are being created by these big money donations that are flowing into the parties. The Greens, Green Party stopped accepting those donations from corporations and unions back in September, but they haven't put a limit on the donations they'll still receive, but at least they took that step. The NDP is continuing to accept those donations, even from corporations and unions, and so are the Liberals, although the NDP has promised to stop corporate and union donations and set some sort of limit on individual donations if they win the election. The limit has to go down to what's been set in Quebec in 2013, which has the world's leading system, and that is a limit of $100, only individuals allowed to give. And the individuals have to be in the jurisdiction. They have to live in Quebec. They can't be outside of the province, and the same should be set up in BC. And that will stop big money, because it will stop big money donations. You shouldn't allow loans that are any larger than donations. They could be allowed from a public fund, so you're not creating conflicts of interest by having financial institutions like credit unions provide the loans or any other business. But that's the only way that loans should be allowed, is from a public fund, and obviously would have to be repaid. And then if the BC politicians and parties think that they can justify public funding, then they could put in place public funding. But they should have to prove that they can't survive on a $100 donation per voter, because that's what a democratic limit is, and that's a democratic system, because it essentially upholds the fundamental principle of one person, one vote in the political donation system.
You mentioned before that you're considering appealing the BC Supreme Court decision. What sort of recourse do you think you've got?
Well, we fortunately did not face a cost award, so it didn't cost us to go and do this case, because we were raising this new point on this about challenging the commissioner in this way, and we don't think we'd face costs for going up to the higher courts, to the BC Court of Appeal and then the Supreme Court if necessary. And it would just be essentially saying, you know, this commissioner can't be a czar. He can't be protected from privilege when he is making a ruling. I mean, imagine if the commissioner, what the court has said is, even if the commissioner had ruled that the court, that the premier was in a conflict of interest, that the premier could ignore that ruling. That's a really dangerous system to have. That you have a conflict of interest law, you have a commissioner who rules on that law, but the politicians can then ignore the rulings. So it has to be changed. First of all, that the rulings are binding, and if they're binding, that the politician could appeal to the courts, or that the person who filed the complaint could appeal to the courts. And that's what the points that we'll be making if we do appeal this. And we'll also look at other legal avenues for holding the premier accountable for her unethical fundraising that is corrupting policymaking in BC because of the influence that these donations must have in some ways on the cabinet.
That was Duff Conacher, co-founder of the Ottawa-based group Democracy Watch. I spoke with him from his home earlier this week. You can learn more about Democracy Watch by going to their website, democracywatch.ca. You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM, and streaming at cooperadio.org.